All right, back on the Young Turks post game. So first, a cutie schmoopy papoopy story. So Web Summit was in Lisbon, Portugal. I was speaking out on Wednesday. Anna did Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. She was scheduled to do that. She had problems with her voice on Wednesday. Anyway, so unfortunately, up and coming back takes a long time. So you burn a bunch of days. But anyway, I wanted to hurry up and come back here to do Friday's show. And I had a bunch of meetings, unsurprisingly, on Saturday and Sunday. So anyway, but Wendy wanted to stay a little longer in Europe, so she stayed an extra couple of days, which I was really happy about. She has a great time, and my parents are in town. They're helping me with the kids, no problem. And then my parents left on Sunday, and it's me and the kids, and then we got to dinner time, and I'm still in the middle of calls. They're watching TV, and they're like, "Baba, we're hungry." And I'm like,
"Oh, this is great."
Okay, and I'm like, "No, yeah, I know, I got it." Okay. And I was planning to take them out because I'm a dad and I don't know how to cook, right? So, but except I had to keep making calls, so I couldn't. So, by the way, you guys wonder, what do I do? What's all the meetings? I'll give you one one of the things that the next call I had to make at that particular time was a 2-hour conversation with Jonathan Larson, who runs TYT Investigates, to talk about all the different stories we want to plan out, okay? So, we got to do it. You got, because I want to make sure that you guys get the right stories and stuff, right? So I'm like, okay, shit. We can't go out, which was plan A through, you know, Z. So I'm like, all right, guys, here's what's in the fridge. Okay, this is between the Jack call and the Jonathan call, right? I'm like, hey, you got pasta, you got the rice with chicken that grandma cooked, you know, you got this. And they're like, they're not buying any of it. Okay, I'm like, you got leftover pizza? They're like, deal, okay, sold. Give us some of the leftover pizza. And then Pro, my 7-year-old son, is like, Baba, step aside. And he opens up the freezer and he pulls out 2 corn dogs. He's like, this is what we want.
Oh my God.
And I swear to you, I'm such a spaz. I was like, yeah, but I don't know how to cook that, right? He's like, Baba, you just heat it up. And so I had to read the directions because I'm so like, scared of ovens.
How did you survive life? Like, how did you get this far?
I'll tell you in a sec, okay? But I don't get ovens. With the preheating, why preheat? What is preheat? Why is a preheat different than the regular heat?
Because
how is it different?
The preheat just means it takes the oven a while to get to the temperature that you need before you cook the food.
So that's very confusing. And then I never know what kind of thing you're supposed to put in the oven. And then you got to be super careful because there's like a 9 out of 10 chance I'm going to burn myself taking it out, right? So, but when the box said I could microwave it, I was like, deal. Okay, I got this. Guys, no problem, I got it. And I gave them a corn dog and leftover pizza, heated both up. And then I was back to good Baba. But my 7-year-old had to teach me how.
That is amazing. that's amazing because it's more, like it reveals more about you than anything else.
Yeah, unfortunately it does.
Yeah.
So how did I get this far? I was single for 38 years, right?
What did you eat? Because you didn't have the money to eat out all the time.
Yes.
So what did you eat?
My 2 biggest staples by far, okay, were Hot Pockets and cereal. No joke. Okay, that was like 40% of my meals. Okay, and then I ate out, but I didn't have any money, so I'd eat junk food, like the fast food, right? Subway, you know, Quarter Pounder and cheese, etc. And then I would go get cold cuts, and I'd make sandwiches. I could manage sandwiches. In fact, I was in the mood for one the other day. I used to like the pickles that I put in my sandwiches.
Oh my God, I just had a memory flashback of, I don't even know if you remember this, but back in like 2008 or 2009, you had started losing a lot of weight and like you would just eat like a pack of turkey, like out of the bag.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, that was my no carb time. No carbs work, you just can't keep it up.
Yeah.
So like you'll lose weight and then you'll regain it. Guaranteed, that's what's gonna happen to you. Do the no carb diet, you will lose weight. And then regain it.
Yeah.
Okay, absolute guarantee.
It's not sustainable.
Yeah. What I used to do, and this I liked, is so I would like get turkey cold cuts, chop them up in a bowl, and I'd pour a ton of oil and vinegar, which I love, mm-hmm. and tomatoes and some cheese, and of course it's me, mayo. Okay, and I would eat that, and it has no carbs. And it was actually kind of delicious.
Yeah,
and
that's not bad.
Yeah.
I don't like mayo, but like everything else is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I could do that. That was, you know, that was pretty high level stuff for me. I'm like, look at me. I'm not just eating the cold cuts. Like I put them in a bowl and did something with them.
Yeah.
Mac and cheese was fairly sophisticated for me. Every time I made mac and cheese, I felt really proud.
Oh my God.
But I have done mac and cheese many times. The only thing I ever cooked that was not, like that was beyond mac and cheese, was spaghetti alla Jenka.
Okay. I think I remember this vaguely. But
yeah.
How did you make that again?
You make spaghetti with butter. And that's all you need with spaghetti.
No, but that,
that's
like,
all you need.
Your end of conversation, that's all you need.
Okay, but I would then cook a couple of fried eggs, like uh-huh. sunny side up eggs.
Uh-huh.
And then I would put it either at the bottom or it doesn't really matter because mainly I, most of the time, not every time, but most of the time, you just take the eggs, you put it on top of the spaghetti,
oh.
and then you mix it up.
Oh, so good. I think I might make that tonight.
Spaghetti alla Jenka, okay?
Yeah, I love, look, pasta with butter, like you're already winning.
Yeah, no.
You're already
and
winning.
In fact, at some points after I'd make that, I'd get a little tired of winning.
So good.
Every time I cooked a romantic dinner, which I think was twice in my life,
mm-hmm.
That's what I cooked, spaghetti alla Jenka.
I don't know what happened to me because I went from like not ever being interested in cooking to now loving cooking, mm-hmm. loving it. And I like trying complicated recipes and it's like super meditative because like while I'm doing it, I don't think about anything other than the fact that I'm cooking.
Sounds miserable.
No, it's so great.
Okay, ain't
nobody
got time.
Play some music, have a dirty martini. And then like if you're not sober, I feel like you cook better. Because it makes you hungry and it makes you want like like fattier, tastier food.
Yeah, well, you had me at not sober. So
yeah.
Which leads us to Portugal.
Yes.
I go to these conferences and all I do is work. If we've done it right, our PR people and our business people will have already booked the day solid for me. Like I'm going to New York on Thursday and Friday. I'm going to get off the plane and go to a conference and then another meeting-ish type of thing. Get up in the morning and the meeting starts at 8 in the morning and go all the way to like 6 at night or whatever, right? One after another, right?
Sounds exciting.
Yes. Yeah. So now in Portugal, Tuesday was not as packed. Wednesday was packed. But at one point, these guys convinced me, okay?
Yeah.
Anna and Christian are there and my wife Wendy's there. And they just said, come on, you already networked. Let's get out of here, right? And so we went out and we went nuts and actually had a meal. But it being Europe, we were too early. We were all hungry at 5:30 and none of the restaurants were open.
Right.
We're like, oh God, fucking Europe. These socialists, okay? Just forget Medicare for all, food for all, okay? Anyway. So we found a little cafe.
Right. So we went to a place in Lisbon known as Barrio Alto, which is one of the older neighborhoods. And we found a cafe that was open. And oh God, Europe is awesome. Because like if you have a glass of wine in the United States, especially if you're in a place like LA or New York, it's $15 at least.
It's maddening.
Then we like in Lisbon, it was like, I don't know.
No, I remember what it was.
What was it?
We had three glasses of wine, a cake, like a little pepperoni calzone kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then three bottles of water, for 11 euros.
That's insane. Insane.
Okay. And then we're like, this is great.
Yeah.
Let's do more wine.
Yes.
And their wine was not out of a wine bottle. It was out of like one of those like jarry kind of bottles, like their cousin in the rural Portugal. Cooked it up somehow, okay, and it was Portugal
a
la
Jenka
or whatever.
Yeah, and it was really good wine too.
Yeah, and so they just kept pouring the wine. Next thing you know, I don't know about you, but I was totally buzzed.
Yeah, I was definitely buzzed, especially because we were hungry, so we were kind of drinking on an empty stomach. You know, you had that cake, I had that like pepperoni calzone thing, which I did not share with anyone. I was so hungry. But what I loved also was the cafe was being run by this really sweet, like, older woman, mm-hmm. right? And Cenk is ordering, and Cenk is, you know, the typical American who's like, let's go, you know? And so, you didn't mean to be like that, it's just mm-hmm. how we are. And so you ordered the wine, and then she started walking away to get the wine, and you wanted to order the food too, so you're like, and then she's like, let me get the wine, okay? She like.
Yeah, she's like, hey. Hey, dickhead, take a load off.
Right? Yeah, calm
I'm
down.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, okay. I had to adjust to the culture a little bit because yeah. I am kind of like my dad's like, come on. We have to do it right away. We have to get drunk right away.
Yes.
Cheap wine. So she's like, all right, take it easy, big guy. All right, so apparently in the Portuguese culture, there's the native songs, that's a funny way of putting it, is called fado. Okay.
The way you say it.
Yeah. Fado is sad Portuguese music. And then the next night, someone explained to me why they sing fado. Uh-huh. Because people always went on journeys in the water. So they'd go fishing or they'd go on a huge expedition, etc. And then the people left behind would be sad. And they'd be singing songs about how they missed the Aww. People who left. Mm-hmm. And those songs were fado. Okay, so people told us, hey, you know, you should go experience fado.
Right.
And they told us about Bairro Alto.
Yes.
And so now you got to witness Wendy's skepticism firsthand.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, like, it was clear. This is Bairro Alto. Everybody told us. The cab driver left us in the, right in the middle of it. Wendy gets out, she's like, this neighborhood's bullshit. I don't believe that this is Bairro Alto.
Because it's a neighborhood, right? Yeah. Like, it's. There are restaurants like scattered around, but it's not like a touristy area. Well, let me correct myself. Apparently, like late at night, it gets super touristy, or a lot of people come out and play, right? Mm-hmm. But when we got there, since we were there so early, like people are getting off work, they're coming home from school, and Bairro Alto, it's called that because it's very steep. It's on a steep hill, and Wendy is not interested in walking up steep hills at all.
She's not interested in that.
She was not buying it, and I remember, because I want her to be happy, like, you know, and I don't want her to be uncomfortable. So like I remember feeling like super anxious. Like I had severe anxiety. And
oh,
I'm like,
really?
Yes. I mean, I hit it.
Get a load of my life.
No, I hit it. But I was like, no, I want her to have a good time. And then when we found that cafe, I was like, oh, thanks God.
Yeah.
You know.
But so. No. But the funny thing about Wendy is like she didn't believe that it was Bairro.
Yes.
She's like, no, this is obviously. I was Bairro Alto. I was told it was fun. This is not fun. That's people's laundry hanging out their window. This is not Bairro.
Yeah.
It's just not. It's just not. I don't care. The cab driver and everyone else lied. So of course it was Bairro Alto. And so at 7 o'clock, we go to a restaurant when they finally open. We're like the first people in.
Yes.
And we're like, do you have fado? And they said, we do have fado. So we go and we're already halfway hammered. Then we drink a bottle of wine apiece. Okay. And you're right, Anna. That's the food tastes so much better when you're drunk.
Yeah, yes. I don't like sausage. I'm not a sausage person. Uh-huh. That sausage was so good.
I am a sausage person, and it was really good.
It was so good. Okay. And then the sausage and egg. We had a sausage appetizer and a sausage and egg appetizer.
Can you guess who ordered those two?
So good.
Yeah. Bart, I would have made you proud. Okay, yeah. And then on top of that, I ordered a steak with ham on top of it. Okay, with garlic, dripped in garlic.
Everything was so good.
Oh, it was so fucking good. So when you're like hammered and there's somebody singing some sad songs about some person who got lost at sea, and you got the steak, the ham and steak combo dripping with garlic butter. Oh, that tastes so good.
Oh, and by the way, so when we came in, you're right, we were buzzed. And our waiter was super dubious, not into it, like, who are these Americans? Like, I could feel it, right? By the end of the night, we won him over. He loved us.
Oh, yeah. In the beginning, he was fado.
Yes.
But by the end, he was having such a good time, he joined the folk dancers.
Yeah.
So they had a bunch of fados, like, sing to Lon, right? And that was fun, because it's cultural, and we're drawing and stuff. But then in the middle, they're like, no, now we folk dance.
And the all of it was super impressive, by the way.
Yeah.
All of it. Like the voice that those fado singers had was incredible. And then the folk dancers, I've noticed that a lot of cultures have a similar like dance where there's like very quick leg movement, foot movement.
100%. Yeah, that's Turkish, Armenian, Russian, apparently Portuguese, Irish, German, right?
Yeah.
And they were almost like in Lederhosen, but like had all of that mixed in. And they're like, right? And then.
Yes, I love this part.
Okay. Anna and I both noticed, but Wendy and Christian, who are both good hearted, are like, what? Okay. The two of the folk dancer women
hated each other.
They want to cut each other.
Yes.
My theory was that they had slept with the same guy.
The same fado dancer.
Yes, who was no longer in the troupe because of the drama. Okay, because the two guys that they were in the troupe, that was not the guys. Okay, but like they would, and they would rotate. They would rotate, and one person would kind of sit out. And there was like a mother hen who was the leader of the troupe who didn't dance, but who was like
who's watching.
Yeah, like, who's watching
standing
and
on
like
stage watching.
Yeah, and like looking, did they do the steps right? And if they didn't, she'd be fado. And she's checking them out, and then. One of the ladies, one of the cut ladies would be out and she'd be looking at the other one like.
Yes.
Right? And then the other one would rotate out and be like. And then there was an innocent girl and then the innocent guy. Mm-hmm. And then they had like a little dance by themselves. And I was like, oh, they're going to hook up.
So I was really happy and relieved that you noticed that. Because this is why. I was drunk and I noticed it. And I started like second guessing myself and I'm like. Am I projecting? Like, am I a bad person and I'm projecting like some weird like inner struggle that I'm having like on these like poor folk dancers?
And then poor folk dancers.
when you mentioned it, I was like, yes, I'm not projecting. They do hate each other.
Oh, yeah, that's the first thing I noticed. Yeah. I mean, you could have cut that tension with a knife.
Yep.
So then our middle-aged, bald, kind of cranky. Waiter is like, fuck it, this shit is on. And he gets into the middle of the folk dancing. He's like, oh, we're like, what the hell? What happened? I thought you were fado. And all of a sudden, he's like, right? And we'd say, so it was a great night, great night. And then from then on the trip, of course, anything that was slightly sad, it was fado. Next night, we went to Barrio Alto again because Christian was sick, so they couldn't go out the next night. And it was lively. It was like a little over the hill of where we were, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was like music and blah, 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 blah. And Wendy's like, that's Bayo Alto. Okay,
yeah.
I knew it. Okay. Anything remotely Latin to me is Bayo Alto.
Anyway, Lisbon was beautiful.
Yeah.
I feel super lucky to have experienced that. And I'm glad that you like let loose a little bit and enjoyed it.
Yes.
Fly like 15 hours to go to a new country and not experience it. Like you're gonna network. You're gonna network.
I know, but that's why we flew all the way out there and missed the show and stuff.
First of all, you flew there to participate in the conference, and you were on a couple pretty big panels that had huge audiences. So that's the stuff that matters. Do you feel like you did any? Networking that matter. Do you ever feel like you do networking that matters?
Yes, actually. It actually makes a huge difference. And yeah, I had two excellent meetings there. So
whatever.
Not buying it. But it's true. It's true. But I'm super glad that you guys made me go out and actually enjoy myself.
Yeah.
Because look, I'm not a total curmudgeon. On Monday when I didn't have stuff to do and we had arrived Sunday night, and my wife is there. We built in that day to do stuff, and we did. We went around Lisbon a little bit, and so God bless. I love seeing new places. So don't get me wrong. I mean, I loved seeing Lisbon. I'm super happy that we saw it. We didn't get to see the whole thing, but we'll go back. You guys got to see a lot more of it.
Yeah, we did. There's a completely different conference happening. Like mid 2018, and they asked me to go speak at that one. It's for journalists.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, maybe.
That's pretty neat.
So,
What was that purple and gold castle or something? I saw it on Instagram that you and Chris showed.
So there's a part of Lisbon, I don't know if it's Lisbon, sorry. There's a part of Portugal known as Sintra, and that's where the king's palace is. And so I took some pictures of that, and it's on my Instagram if you guys want to check it out. And it was amazing because you know the Moors had a lot of influence on the architecture and the tiles and the colors. It was some of the most beautiful architecture I've ever seen. So it was quite an experience.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. What was the last thing I was going to say? All right. Anyway, I guess I'll end on this, although it's not that interesting. It was nice to see how international our audience was because. Mm-hmm. As I was traveling the first day there, two people say hi to me and take pictures in LA airport. Then two in the Paris airport where we had a stopover, and then three in Portugal. And then the night when you guys couldn't come out, we went to a dinner and the waitress at the end said, by the way, I love your show and stuff. And the people we were having dinner with were like, that is fucking unbelievable. Yeah. How do they know you in Portugal? Because that's like the people in America can't wrap their heads around. People in media can't wrap their heads around it because the internet is international.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
And even though in the US there seems to be like a self-obsession, other countries actually do care about international news. So even though we talk about American politics for the most part, people are interested in that. And so, yeah, we have a pretty wide reach, which is awesome.
Right. No, I remember now what I was going to end on. So I did piss off two sets of people on panels. I was on a panel talking about digital media, and the moderator was from CNN. She was great. There was nothing wrong with her, and we got along great. But apparently, the head of CNN Digital was watching and sent me a mean tweet afterwards.
Fado.
She was totally fado. Because I was taking pot shots at all the networks, all the cable news guys. And yeah. I mentioned how CNN's average age is 61. And he was like, hashtag fado.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, dude, you are definitely like, I don't know the right word to say it, but everyone on that panel was a woman. And you're like this, you're boisterous. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that as if it's a bad thing. Like, you know your shit and you speak up and you speak up loudly. And I think that people will either love it or it might rub them the wrong way. But one thing I know for sure, it'll definitely rub CNN the wrong way.
Yes, that's going to be my motto. Cenk Uygur, I rub people the wrong way. Well, you know what? That could be a nice Republican tagline.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Last one was the Muslim dude. There's a Muslim who pretends to be Muslim, but his whole
so
group is aimed at smearing all other Muslims. And so he went on there and he's like, the real problem is Islam and yada yada. And so a couple of things he said set me off. One was that Muslims are uniquely problematic. And when one of the women who are experts in combating terrorism and extremism said, well, actually in the US where he's from, 73% of the terrorism is by right-wing groups. So that's actually a much bigger problem in America. And he's like, no, it's not. No, those are all just one-offs.
Yeah.
Fascism is not important. It's just not relevant anymore. But Islam is a cancer and all that stuff, right?
Right, and he really wanted to minimize non-Muslim right-wing extremism and say that they are one-offs and it's all about mental illness. But when it came to Muslims, it's like it's inherent, like an inherent problem.
Yeah.
So
anyway, so then he said that for anyone who's not Muslim, all those attacks, the terrorist attacks, is a mental health issue. But for Muslims, it's not a mental health issue.
Right.
Okay, this guy's pretending to be Muslim. Okay, so you know me, even though I was a moderator, I couldn't let it stand. And then I was like, and he kept saying how Christians are awesome because they did Reformation 500 years ago, and Muslims are terrible because they didn't do Reformation. And I was like, look, this is a really stupid talking point. You know, if Christians did Reformation 500 years ago and they've been so great for 500 years, how come the Holocaust happened 70 years ago? And there's fairly fair point, right? And And he's like, oh, no, the Christians didn't do the Holocaust. I'm like, yeah, I know, the fucking Buddhists did it, right? Hey, what do you mean the Christians didn't do the Holocaust? No, no, that one doesn't count. That one doesn't count? Okay, anyway. And I said the quote about from Hitler, which is, I did this for Jesus Christ, right? But of course, if you're an apologist, you're like, no, anything that my group does never counts. Right. Even if they specifically say, I did it for Jesus Christ, and I killed the Jews because they killed Jesus, right? Like, it doesn't get any more. Okay, no, no, no. Okay, so then there was an article online afterwards from all the right wing sites, not just one. All of you, you didn't see this,
no,
right? All of them that won one day when I came back on Friday. Uyghur says Christians did Holocaust, and but they like literally like as if it was like a gotcha.
Well, what's amazing is you know I was sitting front and center during that panel. And I didn't really hear much from the audience behind me, but when he denied, you know, the Christian component of the Holocaust, I could hear and feel like unanimously people scoffing, you know, and everyone else on the panel, by the way, scoffed at that.
Yeah.
So
because we were in Europe, they actually know what happened, and they don't suffer the same propaganda that we do.
Right.
So they're like, why is this weirdo saying that Christians didn't do the Holocaust? Who the fuck do you think did it? Right? Because in America, it's kind of an upside down world. And so they've lost track that they're detached from reality. So when he did it in Europe, people are like, that's weird.
Yeah. It was
kind of surreal. All right, sorry to end it on a bit of a fado note. But anyway, we're out of time. But overall, we had a great time in Portugal. God bless. And networking network. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.